Hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Brian Broyles and I serve as the Community Life Pastor at our Delaware campus. In this past week, we continued in our Now Playing series and we looked at the movie Overcomer. In the movie, you have this coach named John, Coach John. He coached a basketball team all the way to the finals at the beginning of the movie. So, successful coach, basketball team, looking forward to the next year. And he finishes kind of an opening scene in the movie talking about how they're going to win the finals next year. Right? And one of the main reasons was because they were returning so many student athletes next year. So many of that same team would be back for the next year. Then in between seasons, in this small town, the factory ends up closing down. So then you see families, coaches, players start to leave the town and relocate so that families can find work. And the football program is impacted. The basketball program is impacted. So he's unsure if there will even be a basketball program next year. He doesn't know if he'll even have a team, if there's going to be a program. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to be a basketball coach next year. So I think what you see this movie speak to all throughout is something that we struggle with today, and I would say is the most important part of life to kind of get right or to settle into. It's this issue or this theme of identity. And in the movie, Coach John went from giving this inspirational speech to his basketball team around how they were just going to dominate next year to not having a team next year. And he never saw it coming, right? Never in a million years did he see this coming. This part of his life, this large part of his life, of who he was and how he was seen by others, how he measured himself, it was taken from him. And he couldn't live out that identity anymore. So he's faced with figuring out, who am I without this? And not only that, but his pay was cut by 10%. So now he's facing some financial insecurity. He also realizes that his son, who played on the team, won't have an opportunity to get a college scholarship. And what you see in the movie is that losing who he was as a basketball coach, it impacted so much. It even his marriage, his relationships were impacted because his circumstances changed. Because a large part of what he considered as his identity changed. And when it did, when it changed, because it was out of his control, when he had to face this, he wasn't just disappointed, he was devastated, because so much of who he was wrapped up in what he did. He ends up doing a hospital visit with his pastor, he ends up in the wrong room, and he meets a guy named Thomas, who was there dealing with all kinds of health issues. He was blind, but really all kinds of health issues relating to diabetes. So he goes back and he visits this guy. And then after this guy, Thomas, finds out all about what had happened to Coach John, he asks him a question. He said, if I ask who you are, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Coach says, I'm a basketball coach. And then Thomas says, well, if that's stripped away from you, who are you? He says, I'm also a history teacher. Okay, well, if that's taken away, who are you? He said, well, I'm a husband, I'm a father. And then Thomas says, well, God forbid that should ever change. But if it does, who are you? And Coach gets a little flustered. And after a second, he says, I'm a Christian. And then he asks him this. Thomas asks, how important is that? And Coach said, very important. But then Thomas asked him this. Why is it so far down on your list? Here's the question that we kind of asked ourselves was, does being a Christian define you or just describe you? Right? Is your faith, your identity as being in Christ, does it define you? Is it your core, your stable core, the truest thing about you? Because we live out what we believe about ourselves. It's the thing that you see your job through, that you see your relationships through, your passions through, your past through. Is it who you are at your core, the truest thing about you? Or is it another thing in a long list of things that describe you? As there has to be this stable core at the foundation of your identity. It has to be something that doesn't change. The core of your identity has to be something that doesn't change. If it's to handle success or failure, if it's to handle the opinions of others, if it's to handle the seasons of life that you go through, it must be a stable core. And just like we see in the movie that sometimes life is tough, right? And some of you may have experienced that. Maybe you were fired or laid off. Maybe that relationship ended poorly that you thought would last forever. Maybe you were blindsided by the loss of your parents. And through all of this change, your core identity is the thing that doesn't change about you in all those circumstances. We read from Ephesians 2 this Sunday. Here's what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. He started out in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He said, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." Well, he starts out chapter 2 talking about who you were. He says that you were dead. The Message version puts it this way. He said, "You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live." He starts out with who we are apart from Christ, because you can't fully understand and appreciate who you are in Christ until you come to grips with who you are without Him. And then in verse 4, we see this. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith." It says, "This is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." And then in verse 10, he said, "For we are His workmanship." Other translations say that you're His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In that passage, you see that your identity isn't achieved by things that you do. It's received because of the things done for you. And this passage speaks to the absolute security that we have in Christ instead of the false sense of security that we put in ourselves and our jobs or in what we do. And it's so easy to base my identity on what I do, because that's how I get my self-worth. That's where, like, I get value from what we do. I'm valuable to my company, I'm valuable to my customer, I'm valuable to my family. But what happens is, if that's stripped away, if the company downsizes, if that diagnosis that you didn't expect stops you from being able to perform the way that you did, then we lose our sense of self. And when you find your identity in what you do, your identity is shaken the moment that you change what you do. And you were created to work. You were created to work for the glory of God. But we've elevated this true thing about you to the truest thing about you, and it was never intended to be that way. And you can't let your happiness and your security depend on something that you may lose. What we said on Sunday, what I hope you here this morning, is that you are not what you do. Your identity in Christ is the truest thing about you and can never be changed by what you do, because these promises are based on Him and what He has done, not you. And one author wrote this, "You will not find your identity in what you have, but in who has you. You will not find your identity in what you do, but in what has been done for you. And you will not find your identity in what you desire, but in who has desired, at infinite cost to Himself, a relationship with you. Christ is your life. He gives you a new identity and will work that new identity out in your life until the day when He appears. And on that day, you'll finally see clearly as Christ sees you now. You will know as you are known. You'll understand that the truest thing about you, that in God, in Christ, God has called you His beloved, in whom He's well pleased, has been true all along. It's true forever. We have to believe it. We have to trust it. Base your entire identity and worth on that fact. You are not what you do. Truest thing about you, what we see in our text, the truest thing about you is that you're His. If you've been struggling with this lately, if you've been placing your identity somewhere other than who you are in Christ, I want to give you a few minutes this morning to take that to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help you realize that the truest thing about you is that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are adopted, that you are forgiven, and that you are His. Let's take a few minutes and do this now. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I hope this was an encouragement for you, and we hope to see you back here again tomorrow. Have a blessed day.